Clive, sorry, I haven't given you. Can I come up? Answer? Yeah. Yeah, we did. Yeah, just so for those of you who don't know Clive, Clive's a very dear friend, father, kind of to us here, and from Shaftesbury, and it's a real honour to have him here. Let's see what God's going to say. Yeah.
Well done. Well, good. Good morning. What time do you finish? You've got a big clock there, so I can. That's all right. I won't keep you. Wow. I was praying earlier today just to know what the Lord wanted me to speak about, really, which is a little bit spiritual, isn't it? But. And I felt very clearly he wanted me to talk to you about hearing his voice. And obviously there are many different ways that we hear his voice. And, you know, we can't cover the ground. It would need quite a number of sessions to look into that, because there's all different aspects, as has already been mentioned. You know, God can speak to you through anything. He can speak. He definitely speaks to you through the Word. And you need to know the Word, because that's his main way of speaking. But he can get your attention whenever he wants, you know. And I was just looking at that scripture up here, which I don't know if that's a right quote, is it? Where it says, he said, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Doesn't it say also in that passage, I know my sheep and my sheep know my voice? I won't argue with it, but... The fact of the matter is that if you're born again and you belong to him and you have, you know, you would have received his Holy Spirit, and his promise to every one of us in this room is that we can know his voice. And we will hear a voice behind us, guiding us. And I know lots of people struggle with this, and, you know, especially... You know, how does he speak to us? And I want to just talk about a few aspects of that. And I'm going to treat you as if you know the Bible, because I won't be reading one particular passage, but I'll be quoting some scripture which I'm sure you'll be familiar with, and you can go and check it out just to make sure that I'm not trying to tell you something that isn't in there. But some of the things I'm going to say may stretch some of you a little bit. So, sorry about that. But let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you have placed your Holy Spirit in each one of us who has trusted you, that we belong to you, that you said that you will counsel us, you'll guide us, you'll lead us, you'll show us the things that are to come. We thank you that you have that you said that every one of your sheep, everyone of your sheep will know your voice. And that is a most amazing thing, that you, the God of all the universe, should intimately speak to us about our lives. And Father, today we're all growing and on a journey of our understanding and our knowing of you, but this is life eternal, to know you. And part of knowing you is having that knowing of your speaking to us individually. And so, Father, I'm asking today that in this place that's on the brink of exciting days, these people who you have gathered here, which in a way that they don't even know why, half of them, and yet you want to do something to impact and affect this community. I'm asking, Lord, today that you will help us a little bit on that journey of hearing you, so that we can be a voice into those networks and communities that you've placed us in, and that we can truly represent you, that, Lord, you can send your word through us, and Lord, that we will see it accomplish that for which you sent it. And so I'm praying today, Jesus, that you will affect every one of us, capture our hearts, help us to understand, help us to learn your ways a little. And we give ourselves to you, and we open ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've just been away, it's been my 70th birthday, so I should be retired really, shouldn't be preaching, but anyway, that's a joke. And so we managed to get all our family together. We got four children with four husbands or wives respectively, and they've given us 14 grandchildren, so when Sue and I are all together, it's 24 of us. And they wanted to go away for my birthday all together. So I thought, that's quite unusual that every one of them wants to go, so we're going to make an effort and spend an awful lot of money to hire a house that will take 24 people in half term. But we managed it, and the Lord helped us, and so we went away just a week ago. And we had a great time. You know, fortunately, I don't know why, but God's been very, very kind to Sue and I, and our children love the Lord, and their kids are growing up to love the Lord, and so that's a blessing, you know. We know we got lots of things wrong, and we know it's His grace. So I'm not up here boasting, I'm just saying He's been very kind to us. And anyway, one of the things that they do, our family are they quite like to sing and dance and do daft things. And so they wanted to have a little show, because it was the place where we went to stay, there was a little village hall that was sort of thrown in with it that you could go, and there was a stage there. And when they saw that, they all prepared some little thing that they could do one evening, so we could all have a little skit and sort of a bit of entertainment and what have you. And this is relevant. We'll get there in a minute. So anyway, we had the evening, and they're a lot. They're kind of gifted. They make me feel I want to crawl into a corner and think, what am I supposed to do? You know, what's my bit going to be? I can't do anything here. And so they all sang or danced or jumped about or read poetry or did something. And then they wanted me to have a go. And I thought, I just can't do it. And so one of our grandsons, or our second grandson in age, is quite musical. And so I grabbed him and I said, look, I can't entertain you. I said, but what I can do is I can lead us in a little worship song together. Nothing had been very spiritual up to this point. It was very funny, and it was all clean and beautiful, but it wasn't spiritual. So everything's spiritual, but you know what I mean. So my favorite song at this moment is, or one of my favorite songs is that one. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name. You know, you were there in the beginning and all that stuff, you know. And I just get lost in that song, because it's sort of perfect theology for me. You know, it said you didn't want heaven without us, so you brought heaven down. You know, my sin was great, your love was greater, and all that stuff. And I kind of sing it a lot, and I get the words wrong, get the timing wrong and everything else, and sing it out of tune, but I enjoy myself. So I thought, if I get my grandson with me, we can do that. And so right at the very end, you know, that's what we did. And so I got him up. I said, we're going to sing this. And most of them, thankfully, know it vaguely, the song. And so we had we sang the song. And a kind of a hush came over the place. And Jesus came. So I thought, phew. Something's happening in the room. And so I didn't say anything, and we sang it through a couple of times. And then afterwards, you know, there was my oldest two grandchildren looked at me and said, Grandpa, we just had a moment, haven't we? And I thought, who taught you about moments? I thought, where did you learn about having a moment? What do you mean, had a moment? Because I knew what they meant, and they knew what they knew what we meant. It was like we were talking a language. What they were really saying was, and suddenly we were just enjoying ourselves. And then there came a moment when Jesus came. And it was like we were, because we believe in him and we're aware of him and all those things, you know, we knew that it was a little bit more than just singing another song or playing the guitar well. It was, there was a presence. Jesus came and made his presence known in the room. And he, in whatever way it was some way, he impacted our senses. And you see, I was listening to Derek Prince, who he's gone now, but he's a much more scholarly man than me. And I've always been fascinated with the glory of God. And, you know, there's lots of scriptures about the glory of God, and it's quite difficult to over-define it and to work out exactly what it means. And there are slightly different meanings at different points when it's mentioned. But the glory of God was an experiential, tangible thing for people. It wasn't some mental concept that they thought, well, you know, this is the glory of God, you know. Or, and they sort of, it was something that somehow human beings could experience and know. And, you know, my limited understanding of the glory of God is actually, you know, when Moses said to him, he said, show me your glory. And and then there was this kind of conversation that goes on there in Exodus with God and Moses. And he says, you know, because Moses is talking to him, and he's, and God says to him, my presence will go with you. And he says, if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not going. And then Moses has the audacity to say, show me your glory. So the presence and the glory may be similar, but they're different. And then what happens is that God speaks to Moses and says to meet me up the mountain in the morning and I'll show you my glory. And if you read the story, you know, just take a little time with it. What you find is that in the morning when he gets there, he hides Moses in the cleft of the rock, which represents Jesus. And then he passes by, God himself passes by, and then he declares his name to him. And he talks about his nature and his name, because biblically, name and nature are inseparable. And so God, all the way through, has revealed his name, and in his name is his nature, the God that heals, the God that provides, and so on. And you all know those names of God. But he, in this particular passage, it's like he says, up until now, everybody's seen what I do. Everybody's, you know, seen me part the Red Sea and seen other things that I've done. He said, but nobody knew who I was. They've seen what I've done, but they haven't seen who I am. They don't know the heart behind what I've just done. And that day, for the first time in the history of man, God decided to open himself up to Moses, this man called Moses, and say, this is who I am, and it's my glory. My glory is me. And so, wherever he shows up, it's an expression of him. I haven't got time to go. It's not what I want to talk about this morning. But the whole area of glory is worth a study, because it says that the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God, as the waters cover the sea. And, it, you know, people get all stuck and say, well, God won't give his glory to another. But actually, if you read carefully, what happens is that you become an expression of him and therefore an expression of his glory in the earth as you become more like him. Again, if you want to take me to task, I'll sit with you with a word. But and so he wants to fill the earth with his glory. He wants a demonstration of himself. And if you like, is the interesting thing that Derek Prince said, which we'll go back to, he said was this. He said that in the Greek language, the philosophers, when they use this term glory, and quite a lot, and he said if you grind it right down, what it literally means is that which impacts all the human senses. Now we think, read Job. Job said at the end of his little journey, which was pretty terrifying, wasn't it, for him? And when God takes him to task, right at the very end of Job, what Job makes a statement. He says this. He said, I'd heard about you, but now I've seen you. And he said, now I understand a bit more. So one sense had got you, but I needed to be hit in another sense. I needed to see something more. And we have five senses, naturally. And if God's going to impact all our senses, and there's nothing wrong with that, and it's very biblical, because the Bible is about people who have been impacted by him, by encounters with him, then we need to be impacted in all our senses when he comes. And somehow, however we do it, we recognize it's him. And it's different to anything else that happens to us in our life. So if you go back to we were laughing yesterday when we were talking about this and saying that, you know, we need five a day, don't we? That's the eight, you know, physically we need the five a day. And, you know, we got five senses, and I need five a day on that level too. And you see, the thing that when my grandchildren said this to me, they said, we just had a moment, haven't we, Grandpa? And I said, well, who taught you about the moment? But what you don't realize is this. I've spent my whole life living for the moments. When he impacts my senses and speaks to me. Because it will be through that he will speak to you. Whether it be through the Bible or the preacher or the YouTube, it will be something that he touches you in a way that you recognize, this is the Lord. And everybody has to have a first time when they have a moment. And then you have to have more and more moments, so you begin to recognize the moments. And whatever you're doing in life, the moments arrest you because he's come into the room. So when Moses again is walking through the desert and he sees the burning bush, he kind of goes over to see why the bush isn't consumed, because a bush, he saw many bushes in the wilderness that would catch fire and burn, but they would be consumed. But this one wasn't consumed, and he goes over near the bush and has a moment. Because God's in the bush and gets his attention. He says, take your shoes off from your feet, and because where you're standing is holy ground. This is a holy moment. This is a moment. And God was speaking to him out of the glory of the bush, in the form of a flame or whatever, but it was a moment. And it was, I don't know whether Moses has had too many of those moments before in his life. I imagine that when his mother was bringing him up in the palace, she told him everything she knew about the history of their people. And I imagine, whether consciously or not, when she was telling him the stories, he may well have had a moment. Or a moment or two, but here was another moment. when God got his attention, and the scripture says this, that he turned aside from what he was doing for the moment. And that meant he gave his full attention to the moment, because Jesus had walked in the room, if you like. And so what we, every one of us, every one of you, and including myself, we're on a journey of coming to know when it is that he's communicating with us into our spirits and impacting us in some way that's getting our attention. And this is, and it's, let me just throw out a few other illustrations to help you. I was reading a book about, I don't know if some of you would remember the Keswick Convention, which I think still goes on, but it's been going for years and years and years, and it was like the place to go if you were an evangelical. That was like the first original Bible week to get to, because that was where all the great preachers went to, and everyone went there. And we had a lady in our church who happened to go there every year. And they printed a book of every sermon that was ever preached at this place. And she had a lot of them. And we didn't manage to get them off her. And she's gone now, and they've gone. But she lent me a few of them. And I remember reading one of these sermons one day, and this guy in this, one of these sermons was saying this. He said, he was talking to his friend. He said, with two men talking, and one said to the other, he said, I'm going to go and hear a great preacher tonight. And so the other one was a little bit, you know, what do you mean, great preacher? You know, what do you mean, what are you talking about? You know, what are you saying? He said, what do you mean, why is he a great preacher? And he said, well, and so the man thought for a little while, and he thought, so the other guy was saying, well, is he a great orator? Is he intellectually stimulating? Is he this and that and all the things that you're supposed to be, I suppose, whatever you think of as a great preacher? And this guy thought for a moment, and he just made this comment. He said, I don't know. He said, the only thing I know is that every time I hear this preacher, he said, when he's finished, all I want to do is worship and pray. He said, I don't remember what he says, but it's not about what he says. It's about where he brings me to, which is into a place where I'm conscious of a moment. And it's, and so, I've said some of these things to you before, but in the early church, they would have lots of itinerant ministries, and the itinerant ministries would come around, and of course you have lots of people who'd like to be preachers and like to be, like to be something. And they had to have some way of seeing, are they really sent from God, these people? And they had this little rule that they kept in their minds, and this was the rule that they did it by, was they said this, the thing that distinguished the people who came round as itinerant preachers as whether they were sent from God or not was, were they light bearers and life givers? That was the question they asked. Now, what does that mean? Well, when someone's flowing under the Holy Spirit, it brings light into that. Something in you begins to see things clearly. I don't have a good of somewhere to preach to reconstruct you or construct you in my ways, but hopefully, by the grace of God, if I bring some of the light of heaven, you'll begin to see clearly the things that you're working at. And some of you will just get touched by one little bit of light over here, and you'll be off on a journey somewhere, and you won't listen to another word that I say, but it's brought enough light for you to find your way. And that's good enough for me, because you're all on a journey of something with understanding him. And life givers. And that was that somehow this life, this, he said, I've come that you might have life. And that when that life comes into the room, is suddenly, oh, everything in you becomes alive. And you recognize that as distinctive from the natural ways that that happens. Do you understand me? There is a distinction between the two. And so Let me continue. I see that I'm going to run out of time, but let me continue with this business of had a moment. I remember one or two of my first moments. I was listening to David Paulson. I was saved. I wasn't filled with the Spirit at the time. I had the Spirit, but I wasn't filled with the Spirit. And we were listening to a reel-to-reel tape, so that tells you how long ago it was. And I remember sitting in this little manse room in Mere, in some Dorset. Where's Mere? Dorset? I don't know where it is anyway. Not the Mere here, the Mere near us, and Wiltshire. And I remember sitting there, and this guy's just chatting away, going through the book of Ephesians. And as he's going through the book of Ephesians, all of a sudden I kind of come over a little bit funny, and something that he's saying, and suddenly I realize it's not just information anymore, that someone's come in the room. And I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know who to talk to about it. But I know it was happening, and I liked it. I thought, I like this. This really is nice. This works very well. And it was like, I think God's speaking to me. Because I was having a little moment because Jesus had showed up. All right? And then as time went on and we were prayed for to be filled with the Spirit and such like, I'd start to worship and sing hymns that to you might seem a little bit dry or something, but I'd be singing this hymn and I'm kind of just getting into the words of it a little bit, and with about seven other people in a great big room because nobody else went to the church. And all of a sudden, I'd start having a moment. I'd think, phew, I think he's here. Someone's here. And all I want to do is love him and worship him. And man, don't let me move from this spot. Let this stay forever. It was one of those moments. It was a good moment. And I knew it was him because I couldn't think about anything else but him. And whatever I was singing, it kind of made a lot more sense. And then a moment passed. And then, of course, over the years, you have loads and loads of moments. But we don't always recognize them for what they are. But that's the time when he's getting your attention to speak to you in some way or another. And so, it's like when someone said, how do you know when something's anointed? He says, a lot easier to know when it isn't. It's hard to describe what that is when the presence of God is somewhere, but when it isn't there, you think, blow me, I could do my dinner. But when it is there, you think, I don't know what it is, but it's something here. Ah. And I've spent my whole life not only looking for the moment, I've become a moment junkie, but also wanting to help create the moment, which I think is what all of us are meant to do. I think every one of us is meant to create the moment, help to know how to make. I've seen people who can worship. We've got a girl who's with us right now, who's what we called an intern, been with us for a couple of years, and she's a great musician and a great worshiper. And, something's happened in the last month to her, which is kind of interesting for me, because I think to begin with, she was a great musician, but she didn't know the moment. And over the last couple of years, she's got to know the moment, or the moments. And now, I walked in the room just this last fortnight or so and just saw her playing, and suddenly I realized she's not only in the moment, but she's taken the room into the moment. I thought, get in. We need hundreds of people who can take us into the presence of God, where we know that. And as believers, that should be something perfectly familiar to us, because if you want, again, it's time, but Acts 15, when they were trying to make some great decision about whether they needed to circumcise the Gentiles or not, and there was a great debate and great did the Gentiles need to obey all these ritualistic laws and so on? And it was funny, but if you read that carefully, go home and read it. They had a moment. There was the whole church gathered, all the leaders and prophets and apostles and elders, and the whole body of God's people were gathered together to make some decision about this great, incredible thing. What are we going to do with the Gentiles? Are we going to make this happen? We're going to make them do this or the other. But if you read that story carefully, it was a very significant passage. They had a moment. And they knew it. Every one of them knew it. And the comment is made this. It said when they sent out the what they were going to do to the other churches and they sent out people with the message, they made this comment. They said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us that this is what we're going to do. How did they know it seemed good to the Holy Spirit? Because they had a moment. When he came, and they all thought, great. Now, I haven't talked about hearing the voice of God. Let me just give you a couple of examples. We try to train people to live in this, and we're trying to train ourselves to live in this, and to identify with it. I know I'm only touching a little thing, and please, those of you who want to, you know, don't get upset with me. I can talk to you, scripture, if you want it. I just haven't got the time right now. But we had a situation just recently, and this is partly why it was fresh in my mind, was that where we had to make a fairly serious decision about whether what we were going to do with a particular aspect of what we do. And it was far reaching. And so stuff had come up, and you know what happens when there's some possibility of change in any given situation? What happens is that everybody has an opinion. And all the opinions are good. And they're okay. They're not ungodly. But they have an opinion. How many of you know that even your closest friends have an opinion about what you should do? And there's been a few opinions about what should I do now I've got to the age of 70. Should I go into coffee shops and garden centers and give up on this? Or should I keep going as long as I got breath? But everybody's got an opinion. And there were quite a few opinions and pressures coming. And there was one situation that presented it. And they said, this is the obvious answer for this situation for you. Not this is a particular aspect. And so, I thought, well, maybe I'm just an old bag of wind that's getting in the way and, you know, hindering everybody else from stepping up to do what they're meant to do. And I thought, I don't want to ever be that. And so I think, I better check this out because this is what people are thinking. And so we checked. Some people that we didn't know particularly, but they came on the screen. And we read their books and looked at their websites and got to know them a bit and thought, well, they're perfect, you know. Maybe they'd be the perfect thing for this particular thing. And so we had them in, and I thought, well, I'm going to talk about it. And so because we didn't know each other the first hour or so, we just exchanged testimony about our journeys. Beautiful people. Clearly had a story about what Jesus had done for them. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then we thought, well, we better talk about this possibility of maybe them coming in and doing something or doing this or doing the other. And so from this place of just easy fellowship, you know, we start to go there. So what were we thinking? And so we have 20 minutes of kind of, and it's all very credible and beautiful, and I'm thinking, I'm getting, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And so then, you know, I can't describe to you very well the amount of pressure that was on us at that time and in the room at that time, because there was pressure for a decision. Do you understand me? I hate the pressure. When it's pressured, you just as well walk away and go for a walk. It's not meant to be like that. So anyway, this is an interesting thing. So eventually I was with a couple of other people in the room, with us, and my secretary, I think she's been here, Caroline, spoken here. She was there, and so when they left, I said, what do you think? What do you reckon? And this is what she said. She said, it would have helped if Jesus had stayed when we started talking about it. And I thought, blow me. She's absolutely right. Up until then, we had been saturated in this glorious life. And the minute we started to talk about this other thing, it was like Jesus said, well, I'm off now. I'm not here. And so we were just talking naturally. And heaven wasn't singing. And of course, what then happens is I've learned over the years that you don't move unless he sings. Unless I'm having the moment. I don't move. I wait. If I don't get the moment, let's not do it. And so, anyway, so this passes, but now my pressurized gang are ready to say, this is the right thing to do, my friend. And they're buttressing me and getting me in the corner. And I just try to say to them, I say, I understand what you think and why you naturally think that, but I just have to say, Jesus didn't seem to be too interested in that one and sort of left us on our own a bit. And then they get all upset because they say, well, why are us poor mortals not able to hear that? And come on, please. And you can hear something, and I think, I don't know what to do with this because I don't see myself as anything different to you, but I do know this. If Jesus isn't in it, I'm too old and too tired to be involved right now. And so, anyway, what I'm trying to say to you is, in a very short time, and I'm going to stop now because it's just one little tiny aspect. However he speaks to you, he comes, and you will recognize he's come, and you have to learn how to recognize when he's come. And he will. I was confident. I was just listening to the testimonies, listening to the worship. I'm thinking you're on the edge of coming into a deeper moments with him. You want the whole room. When he comes, you just say, he's here. We don't want someone to say, well, you know, and it's almost like to everybody who sort of hasn't quite got there and doesn't know about the moment. You just want to say, just keep your mouth shut until you know it. Because it's not just for a few, it's for all of us together to know. And it works for the body, and it works for you in the college, in the workplace, in the home, in the village, in the garden, wherever it is. Because when you bring... I want to tell you one more story very, very quickly, so I know time's gone, but we had somebody else come to us, Christian, for a long, long time, and I don't know why. I was just excited about a particular verse at the time, and so in the conversation, we were together, a bunch of us, and in the conversation, we talked about that very strange scripture in John where Jesus says, the Father loves me and shows me all that he's doing. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about that scripture, but it's a very odd scripture. In many respects, it's a very odd scripture because the Father loves me, Jesus says. And this is how I know, because he shows me all that he's doing. I think it's saying that. They're joined together. It's not like one is totally separate from the other. It's like Jesus said, he includes me in everything that he's doing. So he saves you, cleans you up, gets rid of your sin, and then says, come, let's walk together, you and me. Let's do some adventures together. And that's kind of one of the evidences that you know. I know that he loves you because he tells you that he died for you, and of course all that stuff. But there's nothing quite as exciting as doing something with somebody and getting in there, just enjoying each other in that way. And Jesus said, he shows me all that he's doing. Well, I was talking to this lady who has been away from the Lord, a bit angry with God for about a year because her mother died very badly. Her mother, who was a believer, had a terrible death, very painful, very awful, nothing very seemingly naturally glorifying about it. And she was so upset with God because he didn't do it better at the end for her mother that she hadn't spoken to God for a year, I don't think. I know you don't do that, but she hadn't. And so she'd come to see me, and as I mentioned this about him wanting to take us into fellowship with himself, and that's the exciting part of being a Christian. It's not, oh, I'm saved now, I'm clean, I'll just wait till I get to heaven. No, he said, I've called you into fellowship with me so that we can enjoy this down here together. I saw her, this is what she did. She filled up. And then she looked at me and she said, could we pray? I said, in a minute, we will. And she was overwhelmed with the prospect that she could know him in that level of intimacy. And so we talked a little bit more. And then she said, the trouble is, it's all right for you because you know him. And I don't know him like that. And so I said to her, will you stop it right now? I said, you know him as much as I know him. You just don't recognize the signs. I said, he come just now and you recognized he was here. And you said, why don't we pray? Because that's what, something in you. You were having a moment, weren't you? I said, you know it, but what you do is you just ignore that and think, oh, there's nothing. Now that's him getting your attention and leading you, and you're having a moment and you know it. I said, you were the one that led that, not me. You were the one that recognized the moment. I'm going to pray for you. Could you stand to your feet? Please. I'm going to ask the Lord that, I know all of you will have had moments, you know, but I want them to increase so that you know him. And as it says in John 17, to know him, that's life eternal. That is life eternal. And you know him in those moments when he comes for you. And I don't want you just to keep doubting them or squashing them or ignoring them. I want you to start listening to them and recognizing them, and distinguishing between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. Distinguishing when it is the Holy Spirit that's moving you, not just some soppy movie or some silly story. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in you who is getting excited. And so that you begin to learn his ways more than you've ever known them. And that you can both recognize the moment, but when he wants to get your attention, you give him your full attention. And Father, I'm praying today that if you sent this word, which I believe you have, I'm praying that people will begin to identify, stop doing what was said earlier in the meeting where they say, I'm not good enough. You're not, of course you're not good enough. You're made perfect in him. And he's called you. You are born again. You're a new creation. Stop denying it. And start to respond when he comes. And stop leaving it for the experts or the person over here. But begin to recognize when he's drawn close to you. And that he wants in some way in that moment to communicate something to you. And Father, I'm asking that everyone in this room will grow and that you'll send your Holy Spirit and your word to increase that work of your Holy Spirit and that work of intimacy into this body so that they can be ready when the crowds come in to be able to help others know you in the same way. I'm just asking that you'll do that and asking that you'll work in our hearts even this afternoon by the power of your Holy Spirit and your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Clive. If you want to pray into any of that further, then do come and grab one of us. I was tea and coffee. Again, if you can stay for lunch, please do. Perhaps stay to Anne if you can, just so we know roughly. How many's doing that, but please stay. Yeah, bless you.